Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you live here on a Monday, September 27th. 2021, 17 minutes past the hour, and I hope you stay tuned for this entire hour, this segment. This is a real touchstone for this program. There are guests you have on over the years who are guests, and they're good, and they come on, and they come on once, and it's a fun experience, and you learn about them, and hopefully you, the audience, learn about them. And you have a good time, and then the interview is over. But then there are guests who you have on who are so fascinating, so entertaining, so well-rounded that you want to have them on as much as possible. And in my 20 years in radio, one of those people was Ed Asner. Ed Asner, probably best known as Lou Grant on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, but he was in so many things. It's hard to even say that he's best known for Lou Grant. He's Santa Claus in Elf. He was in Roots. He was in Rich Man, Poor Man. He was Carl, the voice of Carl in Up. Just one of the nicest guys I've ever met, and I've had a lot of very well-known people on the show, and there was nobody quite like Mr. Asner. And he is, still holds the record to this day, the male who has won more Emmys than any other person in the history of the Emmy Awards. That record still stands today, which tells you should tell you something, because that record was set about 30 years ago at this particular point. He was the embodiment of a good guy. A good guy. He lived on the West Coast. We do a morning show. He would get up at 6:15 to come on this show live. That doesn't happen a whole lot. And he was one of the most recognizable figures in the history of entertainment. I saw people flock to him when he was out in public. He was on this show as often as he was able to be, and we're going to talk more about this because he just really was one of my favorites, and we've been airing a show here on the station remembering Ed Asner, the actor's actor, which will continue to air at special times because he certainly deserved that. And it's a compilation of interviews that I conducted with him over the last 20 years. Matter of fact, he was on this program on February 4th of this year. Worked right up until the end because, as many of you know, Ed Asner passed away at the age of 91 on August 29th of this year. We have a very, very special guest that I want to go to momentarily, but I want to go back. This is a short clip. I don't even know if it's 10 seconds, but Mr. Asner was on with me on November 18th, 2019, so almost 2 years ago now, and I asked him how he'd like to be remembered. Here is Ed Asner on this program.
Years from now, how do you want people to remember you when they see your work up on the screen?
True to life. A realistic performer.
True to life, a realistic performer. And I certainly think he was that. Joining us today is somebody who took good care of Mr. Asner, would get him ready for those interviews at 6:15 in the morning, did so much for him, and I got to see that in person when Mr. Asner came to Marion, Ohio back in 2013. And I want to tell you a little bit about that as this interview goes on. But we are so proud in this hard time. It's only been less than a month at this point to be welcomed by his daughter, Liza Asner. Liza, how are you?
I'm tired, but I'm glad to be here. thanks for having me on.
It's good to talk with you. Liza, what kind of dad was Ed Asner?
You know, I think about that question a lot, and it's hard for me to answer because, you know, when I was growing up, the dad was always working, and everybody's dad was working. So it's not like mine worked any more than you know, our neighbor's dad, or, but now, of course, everyone's working. And so, I mean, I didn't see as much of my dad as I did, you know, as I did my mom. And so I actually think that I can answer that better now after, you know, really spending 24/7 with him in the past 10 years than I could about back then, because, you know, your dad's just always gone. But he's always encouraging. He always supports you in learning, you know, and if you bring up a question or wonder about something, you know, he always always encourages you to seek the answer. And I'm not talking conspiracy here. I'm just talking in general. My father, you know, loved nature, so I mean, I shared that with him, and the arts, and I don't know. He just those are the things I really shared with him.
We all know that we love our family members, but living with them sometimes can be a little difficult. The last 10 years, how was that, living with him?
Well, I love my father very much. I didn't start out, when he asked me to come down and work for him, I was in Oregon in 2011. I worked for him full-time, and I lived nearby. I mean, I was just, like, in the same neighborhood as he. And but then as time went on, I think it was in 2015 or 2016, my father's landlord decided to move back, so he had to move out of his house that he was renting. And my twins were going to start middle school, and I have a boy and a girl, and it just was not okay for them to share a room anymore. So I was looking for another place. And so we both were looking, and, well, I was looking for my dad, but there was just nothing right approaching it that way. So as soon as I started just saying, you know, Dad, I'm with you 24/7 right now, maybe we should just, at this point, it'd make more sense just to live together. So I started looking at that, and you know, we found a perfect place, and I think it's like 7 years now that we did live together. And as he was aging, he, you know, my father's a difficult man, and it became a little more difficult as in not caring for him, but just, you know, the grumpiness and the, you know, that kind of, he, you know, my dad can be really grumpy. So that was difficult, really towards the end.
So the curmudgeonness that was kind of always associated with Ed Asner,
yes,
that was reality.
Yeah. Yeah, it really was. Yeah.
Was he a guy, though, who after being a curmudgeon would come back and say, you know, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that.
Yes. Yes. Yes, he was.
I want to play a clip here because one thing that always fascinated me about Ed Asner, and I think gave him great versatility, was he did not always want to talk acting and certainly did not always want to talk about himself. And the last time we had him on, which was just February 4th, we talked about the January 6th episode at the Capitol. So here is Ed Asner on this show, February 4th, talking about January 6th.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Capitol was breached. What did you think? It was supposed to be a peaceful protest. They were counting the electoral votes in the Capitol that day, and then it all broke loose. How do you describe that or coalesce that in your mind?
Well, it's hard. you know, it's like a civil war was ignited, and some people were willing to say, okay, now the war is over, let's move on. And a great number of people said, it's not over, we're still fighting. So until sufficient numbers of them are subdued, this congresswoman from where in there, from your part of the country, Marjorie Taylor Greene is her name, I guess. Some people want to get rid of Liz Cheney because she voted for removal of she acknowledged Biden's victory, and that was bad form for a Republican. So there's a big movement to try to get rid of her, and I think that's now been resolved. On the other hand, there's a movement to get rid of this Marjorie Taylor Greene, who seems to be a troublemaker.
Ed Asner on this show on February 4th of this year. Liza, how active was he in current events?
You know, he read the New York Times religiously, and that was really the source of his information. And he didn't watch the news. It really was. So I think on January 6th, I believe he actually did see, you know, he saw that on the television because somebody turned it on. But it's been from the paper.
Did he like being involved in that sort of thing? Because the other thing we associate Ed Asner with is activism.
Yes.
Was it?
I'm sorry. Was that a question?
Yeah. Well, yeah. No. Was it hard to get him involved in a cause? If somebody would call up and say, "We want you to help us, Screen Actors Guild or something overseas," was he eager to jump at that? A lot of well-known people are not.
This is true. A lot of them are not, and I think as he was aging, he really, because, you know, just exhaustion, time, and energy, he didn't really get involved in too much more, to anything too big, except he certainly helped Membership First with their healthcare crusade with SAG-AFTRA. But that just involved really using his name. That's really all that was, you know, required of him. But, you know, I think that most of the things that my father got involved with, he's always been vocal about a lot of things. But those issues and causes that he got involved with, my father's the kind of person that he really had to be approached on. He had to be asked. He did not seek this kind of thing out, you know? I mean, really, it's because somebody sought him out. And then he tried to help. So,
one of the interesting things about Ed Asner that I think most people have known for many, many years, he never stopped the acting profession. You know, some people say that. They say they're actors and they'll never retire. He was touring the country. He was doing guest spots on shows. He was taking parts in movies. If you would go to the Screen Actors Guild page and search his name, you would see post-production, in-production, announced. What was that in him up till 91 that kept him doing that?
Well, you know, my father, he didn't have any hobbies. I mean, you know, he just was not a hobby guy. So it's not like he, I mean, he played cards occasionally, but that was really once in the blue moon. It was maybe a couple years ago. It was maybe once a month. But he really didn't have any hobbies. And besides the paper, I mean, working is just really all that interested him. And that was his, like, hobby. I mean, I guess that's what I'm trying to say. So, and I really believe, and I think my siblings really believe, too, that it's because he stayed active, especially with his theater shows at the end. And during COVID, he just did, you know, thank goodness for some voice work. But I think my father stayed alive longer because he had those, you know, those jobs, those theater jobs, the voice jobs, whatever he had.
There are so many channels now and so many outlets for creative things. In his day, when he became very well known as Lou Grant and other parts, there were three channels. So everybody knew Ed Asner. When he would go out in public, being his daughter, was that hard that everybody wanted to talk to him?
Well, I think the hard part, going back to what I was saying about, you know, your father just not being around, because he had to work. So there was so little time that you were with your dad, and then, of course, and he loved his fans. He loved the attention, that he just ingratiated that. But you always wound up sharing him, and you wish that, you know, you could just, you know, could I just be with my dad today, or, you know, that kind of thing.
Did you ever see him not be gracious with a fan?
You know, I really haven't. If I had to say if he was ever that way with anybody, it was probably just because they were taking a long time. You know what I mean? With whatever they were doing.
Well,
he gets impatient that way.
Well, the fascinating thing when the couple times that I did get to meet him, he would sit and take pictures and map out the pictures. You know, when he passed away back on August 29th, I had forgotten this, when he was here in 2013, you know, the kids who were kids in 2013, 5 and 6 years old, who primarily knew him from Up and Elf, were much older now. You know, they're 16, 17 years old. And he would pose the pictures. He would put his finger so it looked like it was going up a kid's nose.
Mm-hmm.
And to see that now, they love that. And he did that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It really, he seemed like such a gracious, caring man, and here's this guy who holds the record for more Emmys than anybody else, not just your run-of-the-mill actor.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead. I was just listening.
He was so fascinating to me in so many ways. He could be grumpy. I saw that every so often, but it always blew over. It was not something, I never felt like there was a grudge being kept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, you're right. I mean, it was part of his shtick, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, the whole grumpy thing.
This has been an interesting 3 years. So many members of the Mary Tyler Moore cast have passed away in just a short amount of time. Valerie.
Yeah, he wound up going the same year as Cloris and Gavin.
Cloris and Gavin. What did those take any toll on him, those deaths so close together?
You know, he didn't say anything about it, but subconsciously I think, yeah, I don't know. You know, it may have.
Did he stay in touch with that group? Were they a close group?
You know, they were a close group, but at this point in time and location for most, you know, they're usually really not doing much, and they're with their families. And but I will say that if anybody needed anything for anything, you know, a favor or just a request, you name it, they could all get in touch with each other. I mean, it's not like they couldn't call up and say, hey, you know. I mean, they could, but they just really didn't, you know, see a lot of each other towards the end, you know.
One of the interesting things, if you go back and read his tweets during the passing of Valerie Harper and Cloris Leachman and Gavin, a lot of times he would say, I'll see you soon. Was that more age-related, or maybe now looking back at it, do you think he might have had some premonition that...
No, I think it was age-related.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was age-related. You know, my father's always been fascinated with obits. I mean, he looks forward to reading that section every day, you know, or however, but yeah, it must have been every day, but, you know, it's almost like to see, it must have been to see if he knew anybody who had passed, and then also, you know, I'm still here and you're not, you know, I don't know, it's just interesting to me. I don't share that fascination, but, anyway, you reminded me of it.
Was he a collector of anything? He had such a diverse career. Did he keep?
No, I mean, that goes with my answer about hobbies. You know, he really did not. I mean, he just
No.
I mean, he's got a big book collection, but from years ago. But I have a big book collection too, so I don't know. Yeah.
Being 90 and 91 when this pandemic hit, when a lot of the restrictions were removed, he did go back out and do some things. Was there ever any worry at 91 on his part to do that?
My dad couldn't wait to get out of here. It really contributed, in my opinion, to his deteriorating. And, you know, it's like, oh, God, you know, he can't go out, you know, because of COVID. And, no, I mean, he didn't go out, you know, like, to dinner, and he was here. But it really took a toll, you know. It's like, that was my dad's livelihood. And he might not look forward to traveling or getting on a plane, but by golly, once he's there, you know, he is just so happy, you know.
Absolutely.
So... And he should move. I mean, you know, and he always liked seeing his fans. So it's just too bad. I mean, he was just about. He had a sold out show that he was just about to do, and he didn't get to do it. Yeah.
Well, that's one of the interesting things. I know he had things booked. I believe he had a Comic-Con booked here in Ohio in November. Was still in demand. But before we get to that, because I do want to talk about that, I want to play the final clip we have here. This, just talking about the Mary Tyler Moore Show and why it's lasted 50 years. This is from the February 4th interview, Ed Asner on this show. Here we go. Those relationships that were created on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, why have they endured 50 years?
Good writing, and then luckily the writing fell into good hands of actors. And the directors guided us, and we didn't mess up our beds. We were able to deal with it delicately and humorously. And we got away with it. We were given good stuff to do. That's the first thing, good writing. And fortunately, the good writing was laid into our capable hands, and we were capable.
Absolutely, we're capable. Did he ever think he did anything better are more sustainable than Lou Grant in his career?
I'm not sure I understand the question, Scott.
Did he think that was his definitive role? He did so many of them.
Oh, you mean reflecting on his career?
Yeah.
I'd have to say yes. I mean, he's proud of quite a bit that he's done. I mean, there's so much, but... it's just the longevity of those shows, you know, that you really can't compare. I mean, obviously, you know, something was going right, you know?
What's it like?
Been on for like 12 years.
What's it like to see your father on television?
You know, I think I was more in awe when I was younger. I remember than now. I'm just used to it now. But I remember there was, it was either a mod squad or one of those kinds of shows on, and I was watching it, and I mean, my dad was home, he was in the next room, and he got stabbed, and I remember, like, just starting to bawl, you know, and I just went screaming into the other room, you know, calling for my dad, and I mean, you know, I thought he was really, so I didn't really, and I mean, I wasn't, like, three, I was older than that, but it just still really got me, you know, and I was worried that, oh my gosh, what if that's true? I don't know. I think it's kind of cute looking back now.
To make it to 90 is pretty far along.
He's actually almost 92.
92. Yeah, it would have been 92 in what, November?
Yeah.
Yeah. To be almost 92, was he in pretty good health? Still working?
No, he wasn't.
Oh.
And it's a miracle he lived to be almost 92. That's my answer to that. I will say that his entire family, you know, there were five of them, they all lived well until their 90s. Heredity and gene, that has a lot to do with it. My father did not take fantastic care of himself, and it's truly, he lived a really long and great life. I mean, he really did. No, he had all kinds of issues towards the end.
To be almost 92 and still working and still traveling with not the greatest health, was that difficult for him?
You know, there were things that were difficult about it. You know, I could say this in a way that's I'm sure many can relate to, but, you know, bladder control became an issue, things like that, because of medicine that he was taking. But I found, you know, we worked around that. There were things you could do for that. And he couldn't, you know, he had to rely more on a walker and a wheelchair. But that's, join the club. I mean, you know, join the club.
You know, when he passed away, 91, as you say, that's not a young guy. But it was shocking in a way because health, certain health issues come with age, but he was still so active, still working, still touring, and as you say, still had a show, sold-out show booked that he was going to go do. What happened in the end?
Well, you know, he had several things failing in the last couple years or so, and but we always knew that it would be heart complications that's what was going to wind up getting him in the end, and we've known that for years. So I mean, he was dealing with bladder cancer in the end, but we still, you know, he'd go in, he'd get that procedure done, and we were told right out of the gate that, you know, but that's not what's going to get him. It's not going to be the bladder cancer. It's going to be his heart. And there are all kinds of problems with congestive heart failure that he's been in for years. There's fluid buildup. There's he's had, you know, you can get pneumonia because of the fluid buildup. And then at the end, to complicate things further, which is the leading cause of death with the elderly, is aspiration that, of course, turns into pneumonia. So you start aspirating because you just can't swallow like you used to. And there's really no miracle pill for that. And it gets worse. So I was kind of changing his diet for that, you know, so that he wasn't choking. And that was actually fine. It was being managed at that point, but he just had his heart just, so he was having an aspiration moment, and I put him on oxygen, and but then he still has to go to the hospital because my oxygen at home is not like the hospital's. You know, he needed that full-blown mask, and mine is just the, you know, the kind that goes into the nose. And but he it was his heart, you know, and so he was at the hospital, but he just, every time he'd have to go to the hospital, and he's had several visits, you know, because of various things, because of his age and problems, but he just was tired, Scott, you know, he was just tired, and we knew that, you know, his heart would be it, so he just couldn't bounce back like, you know, like before.
When it came, was there a moment when you realized that this time going to the hospital is far more serious than the other times have been?
No. The answer to that is no. And that's probably the most, that would have to be the most upsetting thing to all of us, is that no. It was no worse than the other times this year he had to go in, and so that was a shock to everybody.
And not to become too personal here, but was there a chance to speak to him before he left us?
Yeah, I mean we all did, and but it was just, you know, you're just never prepared. That's all I have to... I guess sometimes you're more prepared. I was a little more prepared with my mother. But sometimes you're really not, you know?
Was it a peaceful ending?
Yeah, I think it was. I do.
Do you think he was at peace with it? The man who always wanted to work?
I think there's just that, I think for my dad, I think there was just this window there that I don't know what it is, but you know, you just say to yourself that, okay, you know, I think I can let go now, you know?
And I certainly want to go on to happier moments in our remaining 10 minutes, but in the end, did he have any final thoughts or things that he wanted to say? Or was he able to do that?
No, not really. No.
It's tough to lose a parent, I think, at any age.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I've lost both of them now within 2 years, so...
When you come home from that, what has the last month been like with him not around?
Well, I've had to deal with a lot of rescheduling, and I've had all the, you know, some theater shows booked that I've managed for the past 3 years, and I've had to address those, and then, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but I have lost much more than a father. My dad, you know, we were a team, and we did everything together for the past 10 years. So it's really, my world's kind of upside down right now. But I lived with him for the past 7 years. So even though he's not here, I actually feel like, you know, like he is here.
And I want to make the point to say this, because well, one of the things is, any time over the last 10 years that I would contact Mr. Asner to do an interview, it usually was by email, and it has always been Liza who has been setting those up and making sure he was up in the morning, and Liza traveled with him to Ohio when he came back in 2013, and you could just tell... how close you were to him. It was such a neat thing to see a father and daughter working together like that.
Yeah, it was really very special, and I'm very grateful that I decided to leave my home in Oregon and come down to LA, because I had no idea, you know, what that would bring me, and it just grew and grew and grew and grew. And I just am so grateful. I'll always, so many memories, you know, I mean, so many, especially towards the end of doing the, managing his theater, you know.
I used to ask him this all the time, because there are very few people, because of the range of his work, who don't know who Ed Asner is. Was he aware who Ed Asner was?
Yeah. I mean, he really was, and really that his Elf and Up have really been game changers, because even if someone has no idea who Lou is, they all know who he is now because of Elf and Up. And even those that don't really know the Elf know Up. So every generation.
Yeah, he covered every generation. Do his grandkids watch him, or is that just Grandpa?
No, it's just Grandpa. I mean, they certainly... But if you said, oh, hey, he's going to be on whatever tonight, you know, no, I don't know if they'd be tuning in. They're all like middle school and teenagers, you know.
A little bit of a different group.
Yeah.
How did the stage show come about? Because at that point in his life, pretty far along, and the road can be rough sometimes.
I'm sure you can imagine that I made that as easy as possible for him. I mean, it helped getting wheelchair service from point A to B. We got rides everywhere. I tried to avoid, stops with air travel and try to get direct and try to get to the closest airport. And I kind of limited a little more as we went on. But there were really three... The show that we just had, a sold out show in Montana, that was his last show that he did. And then he was launching a new one that he was going to be starring with Jamie Farr, and that was completely sold out in North Carolina. And we were going to be going there for that. And then that was a different show that was sold out in Montana. So that was the last show he did, and he didn't make it to North Carolina. But there were three. Two of them were written by Ed Weinberger. And then one of them that I actually produce, I don't just book and stage manage, is the political comedy, and that one is written by Phil Proctor and Samuel Warren Joseph. So it's a man and his prostate, two Jews talking, and then God help us. And so those were the last two things. And actually the last, he did a couple voiceovers just before he passed. I can't think of what that was, but I want to say Central Park or something like that. I can't remember. And I, during the COVID year, last year, my shows were all canceled, so I decided to get back to writing, and I wrote a short, and that was the last, it's being edited right now, that was the last film he did.
Hmm. It's such a great thing that was able to happen, and those things were able to be got in. His last day, since the ending does sound somewhat unexpected, was it just a normal day?
Yeah, I mean, it was. I mean, he got a little more tired, but it was nothing out of the ordinary. I mean, there really was, I really blame the aspiration, you know, I really do. It just can really come out of, you don't have to just eat for that to hit, you know? I mean, you can, like, have something or swallow wrong, I mean, you know, and have something go down. It's very tricky, you know, it's a very tricky thing.
You know, and I don't want to get too in-depth here on what was going on, but, you know, he'd been on February the 4th, and we wanted him to come back on and talk a little bit about what's been going on.
He can't get up in the morning anymore, Scott. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, no.
It's an age thing.
Well, yeah. But I think we were going to tape one, and I had emailed you, and you said that he just had a small procedure coming up. And
I think that was the bladder cancer.
Yeah. And when that was over, we would schedule the interview. So, I think it just came out of the blue for everybody to hear that.
Well, it does. And he's been in maybe 3 times this year because of that. Mm. So,
what don't we know about Ed Asner that you know?
Well, I just said he loves nature, and he does. He was, this probably might not sound that odd or not, but he was addicted to his phone. addicted to the telephone. It ranks up there with the New York Times. It was his favorite. He loved talking on the phone and getting phone calls. And he really did. And he loved his fan mail. I mean, he really did.
When you see him on television now or see a movie, is it difficult this soon after?
You know, it was difficult soon after he passed. They had the Mary Tyler Moore show on, in honor of him, round the clock, 24-hour, whatever it was. And I did tune into that, and I think it was a little too soon for me. That was kind of hard. I couldn't watch it for long.
What would he have thought of the outpouring? He was on the cover, the top of the cover of People magazine the week that he passed away.
Yeah, well, I think that's kind of normal. I had somebody reach out to me and say, is that all the, what paper was it? I don't know. They were complaining about some paper didn't do enough on him. But my siblings and I really thought that with everything that is freaking going on in this country right now, I think that they really did a beautiful job, with my father's death. I thought he got quite the talk, quite the coverage. I think he'd be very pleased. I really do.
It was certainly everywhere that day and the next day, and that was nice to see. And the people, the people who had worked with him, who had tweeted out things, it was
exactly.
So nice and very positive. Liza, how are you going to remember him? Now, you will remember him differently than we all do. He's your dad.
Yeah. I have so many memories of work that we did together, and the theater was really very special to me. But I think there's a piece of my dad that will always be in me and with me, and my mom. And I think it's very, like my message in this project I'm working on right now is, I think that if you leave this world, if you're a good person and you leave this world better than how you came into it in some way or another, I think that that is what's important. And that's probably to be a good person, that line, to put country first, and not yourself. And I think that is the most important thing.
You know, Liza, and like I say, as we come to the end of this interview, certainly our condolences are sent to your family. But he could not have been nicer. And I'm sure there are other people who have these stories as well. But when you're doing a show like this, booking is not always the most fun thing in the world. And he made himself available, and he always was such an interesting and gracious guest, and always funny, and always... there was just something different about him, and that's no line of anything. Mm-hmm. There was just something different. This man, who does have the record for winning more Emmys, he's a celebrated actor, no doubt about it, and yet he was probably the least aired person. He had no heirs to him, it didn't seem like.
Right.
Which was so strange. I remember we would talk before we'd go on the air, and you'd put him on the phone, and before we went on the air, and he always just wanted to know about what the other person, what have you been up to? How much time do we have? Why haven't you called? He'd usually make a joke. Why haven't you called? Where have you been? Mm-hmm. He was just the most unique man, and I do want to make the point when he did come here to Ohio, because I saw so many pictures of that event after he passed away, from those kids who are now teenagers and adults as well. He came here, he came to the show, he took pictures, he went to a dinner, and he was into his 80s at that point, and didn't ask for anything. Didn't ask for anything. Yeah. He was a classic, and he'll be with people forever.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, he really will. And, you know, he knew just about everybody. So, I mean, you know, I run into people all the time where it's like, you know, I met your dad, and I'm like, I'm sure you did, you know, because he's just been and done so much.
Well, Liza, and again, I want to thank you for everything you've done, because I know you set up a lot of those interviews and made a lot of those things happen, and I'll forever be grateful to you for that. And if you ever need anything, give me a buzz, and thank you for coming on this morning. It's good to hear from you.
Yeah, and thanks for having me, and you take care, and I'll keep in touch.
Thanks, Liza. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Scott. All right. Bye.
Liza Asner, the daughter of the one and only Ed Asner, one of my truly, truly favorite people. This is Scott Spears, heading for the dugout.
Address, 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number, 740-225-4255.